Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello and welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety, where each week we delve into little-known healthcare and hospital hazards, as well as other fringe topics that affect your health and well-being. I'm so happy you've taken the time to join me, and today I have lots to share with you. So, let's dig right in, shall we? Once again, thrilled to have a returning guest to talk about my favorite topic, infection prevention. She is Louise Lobotsky, an infection control coordinator at the Cleveland Clinic Hospital in Medina, Ohio. Louise has 40 years with experience in acute and long-term care with certification in infection control and prevention since 1993, and she has been a hospital infection preventionist since 1999. Welcome back to the show, Louise.
Thank you, Pat. It's nice to come back.
It's nice to have you here. Now, as soon as I knew you were going to be available to be on our program, I sent out an email asking listeners to send in some questions for you, and we actually received so many, but we picked out a few that seem to be recurring. So are you ready to once again share your expertise?
Sure.
All right. Thank you.
I will try.
Oh, you don't have to try. You're a genius at this. All right. Barry in Burton writes, as a hospital patient or visitor, when should I use soap and water versus alcohol hand rub for hand hygiene?
Oh, that's really a very good question.
Yeah.
That is really good.
We've got smart listeners, Louise.
Yeah, that is really good. Good question. You know, if soap and water is available, if there's a sink in the room, you know, by all means, use soap and water and wash your hands in that manner. When you do wash your hands, you want to make sure that that you cover all surfaces. And you probably want to lather for about 15 seconds using warm, tepid water. I love hot water, especially in the winter, but it's not good for your skin. And then watch those sinks. Make sure that you use a paper towel to turn off the faucets because they're really contaminated. If the alcohol foam is available and say you just washed your hands, but you're going to, you know, help the patient do something while you're visiting, you know, using the hand sanitizer then is perfectly adequate.
And after, say, an advocate or a family member moves or handles a patient, it's probably a good idea to use what soap and water or the hand gel after touching that patient?
Yeah, I would say if they're really, like, helping with the care, I mean, soap and water is really good. Mm-hmm. You know, it mechanically removes those germs that you might pick up on your hands while you're helping provide the care.
Right. An elementary school teacher asked, for hand washing to be effective, how long should I rub?
Oh, yes. Yeah, minimum of 15 seconds.
Okay.
That's what's considered a healthcare hand wash. And then, of course, we always hear about singing happy birthday or row, row, row your boat. You want to make sure that you cover all surfaces between the fingers, under the nails. You can actually have your fingers together and, like, put them in the palm of your other hand, like rub them in the soap in the palm of your other hand.
Oh, yeah.
And that will help loosen anything that's around your fingernails.
Fingernails. I think I have a fingernail question in a moment, but before that, let's see, Melissa in Pittsburgh wants to know, what is the proper way to use alcohol-based hand sanitizers, and doesn't hand sanitizers cause resistance?
Oh, that's another really good question. As far as for healthcare workers, hand sanitizer, alcohol-based hand rinse, is considered the first line of hand hygiene. Healthcare workers need to wash their hands when they're definitely visibly soiled or contaminated, if they're caring for C. diff patients, if they just know that they soiled their hands, they need to use soap and water. But, you know, healthcare workers are going from patient to patient and doing so many different things and touching lots of surfaces. So if they were using soap and water every time they needed to wash their hands, they'd be spending most of their shift using soap and water washing their hands. And that's where the alcohol hand sanitizer really works for healthcare workers, because they can sanitize in between when they're doing all these little tasks and touching surfaces that others have touched and might have contaminated. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody always asks about the resistance thing. And, you know, there's a lot of literature out there and a lot of information. But the consensus so far is alcohol, you know, an alcohol-based hand rub, it's a disinfectant. It's killing the germs on your hands at the time. It doesn't have any special antimicrobial chemicals that, like antibiotics or other chemicals that can build up resistance over time. It's like working at the time that you're using it. And then after that, it's done. Once you start touching things in the environment, your hands get contaminated again and you have to reuse it. So with alcohol hand rubs, soap and water is still the best, and you don't even need special soap. Just any good soap that lathers and that you like and doesn't dry your skin is good. And then use those alcohol hand rubs when you're out in places where there's no soap and water. And, you know, you're going to grab a quick snack and you're not by a sink. That's when they can come in really handy.
This is a good question because you touched on a few things that I want to reiterate. You mentioned C. diff, and so I think what's important for folks to realize that those hand sanitizers do not kill the C. diff bacterium, so you do need soap and water if someone that you're working with or tending to has C. diff. That's correct?
Yes, okay. That is absolutely correct. Okay. You have to use soap and water to mechanically remove the bacteria and the spores from your hand.
Okay. And the second thing you said was that the alcohol-based gels, they don't contain the antimicrobial agents such as triclosan or those agents in there that could cause you to build up a resistance to it. So as you mentioned, that alcohol, once it dries and evaporates, it's gone. It's
right.
It's gone
right.
From your skin. You're not going to build up
that
a resistance.
That is true. Okay.
Excellent. You just debunked all of those myths in that one question.
That's something that's been around a long time. Oh, it's going to develop resistance. Mm-hmm. Well, the alcohol gels aren't like antibiotics.
Good. All right, folks, we cleared that one up. All right, Lola in New York sent this. Why are the gloves in the hospital stuffed in the box every which way? I watched a nurse pull out her gloves by the fingers, put them on, and inserted a catheter. Actually, I saw that once as well.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's not good.
But the way they're stuffed in that box, if you go any doctor's office I've been in, I agree with Lola in New York, it's not like you're pulling them out by the cuff. The fingers are dangling, so you've got to touch the finger to put them on.
You're right. You're right. Some of them you pull out one glove and you get 20 gloves. And, of course, you know, you don't want to see anybody stuffing that back in the box.
Exactly.
You know, those need to get thrown away. Now, the gloves in the boxes, in the patient rooms that are on the walls, those are called exam gloves, and they're non-sterile. They're clean, but they're not sterile gloves. If a sterile procedure is being performed, then sterile gloves should be used and should be applied appropriately so that they are sterile when they're in use.
So when a nurse is inserting, say, a urinary catheter, they're supposed to be using different gloves?
Yes, they would be wearing sterile gloves.
They wouldn't be pulling them out of the box that's in your room, in the hospital room.
No, they might put them on to look, you know, to prepare, to get things ready.
Uh-huh.
But then in the kit for inserting the catheter, mm-hmm. there would be sterile gloves
okay.
there.
All right, that's good to know. All right. Wow, we're learning, folks. Sammy, the son of a senior. I thought that was hilarious.
That is.
Sounds like a song in there somewhere.
Yes, yes.
Sammy, the son of a senior, wonders.
Yes.
When my mother was in the hospital recently, I watched as a nurse spent 5 minutes attempting to put on gloves to take her blood, but had a hard time because of her fake fingernails. Why is this permitted? Why is that permitted?
Yes. Well, the Centers for Disease Control, their recommendations, which is what most hospitals follow, are that if you're providing direct care to patients, that you don't have artificial nails. Now, nails should be of an appropriate length, and if there's natural polish, it should be clean and intact. But artificial nails, you know, those are bad because no matter how much stuff you put on them, they're not your nail. And so something can get in there underneath, like bacteria, that could be a source of infection. The question about applying the gloves with nails, that can be really hard to apply them, to take the gloves off.
Absolutely. I'd be worried about poking a hole in them.
I know. Yeah. I know. Or if you break one, how it's going to feel.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, with 40 years of nursing, I believe in nurses' nails, which are pretty short and pretty plain.
Yep. That's just part of it. Yeah, I can't imagine that. All right, a loyal listener emailed, are healthcare workers, including doctors and nurses, routinely checked for HIV and hepatitis?
That's another really good question. Your listeners are out there reading and thinking about
listening.
Yes. No, they're not routinely checked. And no, routine checking usually isn't done. If there's any signs or symptoms or risk factors, you know, obviously for that individual's health, they would want to be checked. Providing routine health care, even if you were infected with a bloodborne disease, you're not going to transmit it to someone else, providing routine basic health care. You know, we don't expect that patients be routinely tested either, because we practice standard precautions and we treat all body fluids as potentially infectious for every patient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that fear kind of runs both ways. I mean, the healthcare provider is fearful of this as well.
Yes.
So I understand. And, right. It goes both ways.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, a couple more. Can I catch it in Canton? Wrote, Pat, what can I do or say if my hospital nurse is obviously sick?
Oh, yeah, that can be a problem, too. There's something that's been in the literature a lot where healthcare workers go to work when they're sick. And, you know, there is a lot of reasons that that happens. One of the things that I really notice with staff a lot is that when they've got a cold, they're wearing a mask. And that's as good as if they were keeping their hands covered with a clean tissue. You know, if you see your nurse wearing a mask, you got to think, you know, or your doctor, because I see doctors do it too, and you got to think, you know what, they're practicing good infection control. They want to try to prevent passing on the infection. And, you know, hand washing, but you really want to step it up when you've got a cold.
Mm-hmm.
And when people around you have colds, you really want to step it up.
I'm thinking the underlying thought of this person's question would be, how do you have that conversation? I mean, can you, if you ask, are you sick, or I would prefer to have someone else work with me? I mean, is that out of line?
No. I mean, you know, nothing is out of the realm if you feel very uncomfortable about it. It's okay if you're the patient to say, oh, you seem like you're not feeling good, and you could always, you know, ask for another caregiver or express concern to that caregiver, too, even though that you're the patient, to say, you know, you need to let somebody know that you're not feeling good. Because it can be difficult for healthcare workers. They feel, you know, when you take care of other people, you don't feel sometimes like you can be allowed to be sick.
Right. Right. I think this question kind of touches upon the same idea of how do you ask your healthcare provider to please wash his or her hands. It's just, I think as a patient, we're just so frightened to speak up when we feel uncomfortable, and we really shouldn't. But I don't know exactly how to get past that.
Yeah, and that can be uncomfortable. And I've been in situations with my family where they were the patient. And, you know, I'm an infection control nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And still, it's hard, although I've really gotten pretty good at it over the years. You know, I have a girlfriend. She had heart surgery at one hospital, and everything was wonderful. And we're good buddies. And she'll chat with the nurses and talk. And she'll say, you know, my friend's an infection control nurse. And she's always talking about hand hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
So you can always use that. I can be the friend. You heard me on the radio and just say, you know, I know an infection control nurse and I hear hand hygiene's really important. And then it's not threatening.
There you go. Blame Louise.
Yes.
Two more. Sarah Sponda wrote, does bacteria from other patients travel through the air and through the ventilation systems of the hospital?
The ventilation systems in the hospital are really well monitored, so that the air in places where it could be infectious is really monitored, so it doesn't get into the areas where you need the air to be clean. So that is a really good question, but no, air handling is very important in the hospital.
One more. Myron and Mentor sent this. He said, Pat, ask your guest this question. What is your role as an infection control person within the hospital, and can a patient call on you during their stay with questions?
Yes, absolutely. Patients and families can always ask to see the infection control nurse. Definitely, infection preventionists are happy to talk to patients and to their families. And our role is promoting infection prevention with education. Another big part of our job, of course, is surveillance, looking for those hospital-acquired infections and figuring out why they happened and providing that information so that we can prevent future infections.
Do you get many patients that ask to see you?
Yes, I do. You know, not a lot, but I get some. And then sometimes, you know, nurses or physicians will ask me and say, you know, I've talked with the patient and the family, but I just feel like, you know, they need some more information.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know that we have the ability to ask for the infection control person within the hospital. Again, I think that's something that the average patient would not ever think of.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That is true.
Excellent. Well, we had many, many more, but I wanted to just share a few. And wow, Louise, it's so exciting to be able to talk to someone who has an answer to all of your questions. And infection prevention has always been my keen interest, so I'm always happy to talk with you.
Oh, well, thank you, Pat. Thank you. I know when I listened to you speak and, you know, I could just tell that we connected right away. I mean, there's some people that are just, you know, really into those bugs, those germs, and preventing infections.
Well, I'm so happy that we met, and it's just been a pleasure to have you. You are welcome anytime.
Thank you. Thank you, Pat.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.
I'm Jerry the Germ with a Speak Up and Stay Alive healthcare and hospital safety snippet just for you. Here's our expert, Pat Rulo.
Hey, Jerry. Did you know people are talking dirty and don't even know it? That's right. According to Dr. Chuck Gerba, a famous microbiologist whom I spent the entire day with at his lab in Tucson, Arizona, he found cell phones carry 10 times the bacteria of most toilet seats. Ugh. So what can you do about this? Sanitize your phone daily with my newest cross-contamination solution called Dirty Talk. Simply spray a bit of Dirty Talk cell phone disinfectant onto a soft cloth and gently wipe down your cell phone, iPad, computer mouse, and keyboard. Statistics show that cell phones harbor 25,000 germs per square inch. So stay safe from all of this dirty talk. Visit zapandzen.com. That's ZAPNZEN.com. Zapandzen.com. And get your Dirty Talk cell phone disinfectant. It's made with only safe ingredients such as organic tea tree, tangerine, and cinnamon essential oils. It smells yummy, and the bottle lasts a long time. That's zapandzen.com or call to order 440-725-5462. Makes for a fun stocking stuffer, too. That's 440-725-5462 or visit zapandzen.com.
Hi there, I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, the host of Mrs. Green's World, and I personally invite you to become a part of our movement. We show up every day to help create the change we wish to see because we care deeply about this great planet of ours. The guests I interview inspire ways of living that are healthy, sustainable, and socially just. We discuss real issues by leveraging experts and science to get trustworthy information. Please visit our website at mrsgreensworld.com to learn more and to become a part of our world.
Thousands of people throughout the country are catching the flu. Thousands of people get the flu vaccine. Yet thousands of people are not doing the one simple, easy breezy thing that can help avoid these dangerous outcomes. And that would be hand washing. Yes, I know we talk about this on this show, but here is some up-to-date information that just might cause you to suds up a little longer. Hand hygiene is recognized by infection prevention and control experts as the single most important activity that you can do to decrease the spread of infection, both in and out of the hospital. Because the hands are the vehicle for transmission between people as well as environmental services, such as tabletops, phones, and so on, it is so important to practice frequent hand hygiene using good old-fashioned soap and water or an alcohol-based hand sanitizer. The goal of hand washing and hand hygiene is to remove as many microorganisms from the hands as possible to avoid transmission. A study at a hospital tracked 10 million hand hygiene events and showed 9 out of 10 healthcare workers use only one squirt of the hand sanitizer from the wall dispenser. Well, that sounds reasonable to me, but guess what? It isn't. To correctly use a hand sanitizer, you should pump enough product on your hand so that it wets hands fully and provides 15 seconds of rubbing before drying. If hands dry before 15 seconds have passed, that means too little product was applied to properly clean them. So the combination of proper dose, meaning using enough product, and a 15-second wet time is critical in helping to prevent healthcare-associated infections. Let's talk about the infection cycle amongst healthcare workers and follow the path. Here's the cycle. Microorganisms are on the patient's skin or nearby objects, such as the bedside table. These microorganisms get transferred to the hands of the healthcare worker. The healthcare worker must either not perform correct hand hygiene or do it incorrectly. And lastly, the healthcare worker's contaminated hands come into direct contact with either another patient or an object, such as a shared blood pressure cuff or other such monitors and equipment. This is called cross-contamination. Well, now let's talk about a hospital patient. I saw this firsthand, no pun intended, when my mom was confined to her hospital bed for 4 months. The only time anyone wiped her hands was during the daily bath. No one came in before mealtime to ensure that her hands were clean. So I think it's fairly safe to say that the hands of patients are neglected while in a healthcare facility. Therefore, the patient's hands can not only contaminate the patient, but can transmit bacteria onto hands or clothing of the healthcare providers, who then transfer the bacteria to the next patient. And also, notice where the hand sanitizer is located within a hospital room. Just one, on the wall, next to the door. Many patients are immobile or sedated or at a risk for a fall. Can they really be expected to jump out of bed to sanitize their hands? Well, here's an obvious case for bringing hand sanitizer with you to the hospital and keeping it on your nightstand or tray table. And by the way, guests and visitors should always use the hand sanitizer before and after touching the patient. And if your patient is out of it, routinely glob the gel onto their hands and clean the patient's hands for them. Soap and water is still considered the gold standard for hand hygiene. But when soap and water is not available, these alcohol-based hand rubs or gels or foams should be used. This is so easy to do, but here's the problem. The average person washes their hands for around 9 seconds, and only 16% wash their hands for the recommended time. And washroom studies from around the world show that less than 80% of people wash their hands at all, which means that one in every five of your coworkers is walking around with unwashed hands. Speaking of coworkers, here's some more thoughts about the workplace. Researchers found that sick people go to work rather than calling in sick. 83% of the participants in the survey said they continued to attend work or school while experiencing symptoms of an influenza-like illness. And as odd as it sounds, coming to work sick and not working up to par costs employers twice as much than if the employee stayed home due to poor work productivity. For every employee who comes to work sick, up to 18% of their colleagues will become infected as a result due to poor hand hygiene. Why is that? Well, according to one of our previous guests, Dr. Chuck Gerba, a microbiologist from the University of Arizona, he says desktop surfaces, computer keyboards, mouse and telephone receivers are more contaminated than restroom toilet seats. While there's not much you can do about healthcare providers routinely washing their hands, you can ask them to wash before touching you. And if that is a problem, you can hand them one of my icebreaker cards designed specifically for the shy patient. When a doctor or nurse enters your room without washing or sanitizing their hands, simply smile and hand them this card that says, "I am concerned about healthcare-acquired infections. Please wash your hands before touching me." It works, folks. I used it on several occasions, and it generates a pleasant conversation and quietly gets the provider to wash in front of you. And for employers and employees of non-hospital-related businesses, here's my suggestion. Businesses need to focus on infection prevention rather than managing and paying for absenteeism due to preventable actions. Even a small reduction in colds and flu would have a huge impact on reducing costs, both to the employer and the employee. So if you'd like for me to come to your workplace to quickly enlighten your employees about germy working hiding places that will ultimately save the company and employee thousands of dollars in unnecessary health costs, contact me now. Call me at 440-725-5462. And in the meantime, go wash your hands. Once again, a jam-packed show, which puts us close to out of time. We talked so much today about healthcare-acquired infections, and to learn more and to stay safe during every healthcare or hospital encounter, get a copy of my book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide, found exclusively at the website speakupandstayalive.com. Only $20, so therefore it makes a great and inexpensive but seriously useful holiday gift just for you. And if you'd like even more, invite me to speak. Just give me a call for the short list of details, 440-725-5462. I look forward to that. And my trio of germ-fighting essential oil sprays, your solution to keeping you well without drugs. Visit zapnzen.com. That's ZAPNZEN.com. Zapnzen.com, and go to the radio specials. There's a link that says radio specials. That's where you'll find Dirty Talk, cell phone disinfectant, Happy Hands hand sanitizer. It's enhanced with essential oils to give you double the strength of typical store-bought hand sanitizers. And finally, Hospital Helper, a spray that every hospital, nursing home, a rehab patient needs to keep superbugs such as MRSA far away. You may want to get a head start with stocking stuffers or hostess gifts. I mean, who wouldn't want to get something called Dirty Talk? Visit zapnzen.com, ZAPNZEN, zapnzen.com, or call me, 440-725-5462. That is 440-725-5462, and leave a message on the radio studio line. And now, it's time to say so long. Until next time, I hope your week is a happy and a healthy one, free from cross-contamination. I am Pat Rulo, and I am the voice for informed choice.